going. Okay, into recording. And this one. Okay, we're in action. All right. That works. Again, as we begin, the question is why have a Torah and Science Shiur in the first place? They seem like two different aspects of our lives, what we do. Science and technology, everybody knows in the modern world, where we work, what we do, what we interact in our normal secular daily lives, versus Torah, which is our religious life and Torah life, our way of life, our values, etc. I guess the immediate answer is rather obvious, and that is the conflicts that seem to come up between these in areas such as theory of evolution, the age of the universe, etc. In general, but let's begin with that. So the first reason that one might be interested in this is in terms of Rabbi Gamliel's edict to know what to answer the apocorsis. The person, the doubted heretic, who points to all these things and you see this can't be correct, it's not correct in detail, etc. The other thing is, of course, for ourselves, because after all, and Rabbi Avigdor Miller years ago had pointed it out in similar work that he did in a different way in terms of evolution and such, that one is eaten up too. If a person, a lot of times, it says, I don't need to know, etc., etc., in a certain extent, is always worried in the back of their mind. They say, well, maybe what if it's right? What if it's true? What if there's really something wrong here? And there's an internal question that develops too, and you need to address that. On the practical level, of course, and you see this at conferences, let's say Association of Jewish Sciences, or Torah, other organizations that have dealt in this area, is a practical halachic issue. People have to know, is a microwave oven cooking? What constitutes Shabbos violations with modern electronics? A chemical issue. In vitro fertilization, is it permitted for married couples? How do you go about doing it? All these things involve the technologies of science and interacting with halacha. So this is on the practical level. That's not where we're going tonight. The first two, perhaps. But these are sort of on the that's one positive aspect, practical. But on the theoretical end, we have two negative things. What if somebody's challenging you in what you believe? What if somebody you yourself have some concerns or doubts or seems contradiction you need to resolve with yourself? So those are really on the negative side. But there's more on the positive, which are very important in two specific ways. One is by it's apparently was said by the Gra. In a work called Kol HaTorah, it's controversial. Some say it's not a correct writing, or it's not a real work of the Gra, connected with the Gra. Others say that was written by one of the students. Others hold very much it is a number of number of people that I hold by Pinchas Winston, for example, Rav Avram Sutton did the translation of it, so obviously held very closely. He's in the Breslov Research Institute and many others. But the statement it seems to be well placed, and that is that science itself is sort of like a toy model. There's very deep ideas in Torah, abstract ideas. It paints a certain direction of where and how we might think of relationships of things. Looking at the natural world and working with that, we have the other side of the coin, the actual experimental, the actual dealing, the meat of it. And from the small, from the special case that we actually work with, so to speak, with our hands, our eyes, our senses, we begin to see deeper ideas about how the whole works. It's just the way that that we tend to connect things. One gets a deeper knowledge of science from Torah, and one gets a deeper knowledge of Torah from science. But there's yet a deeper idea, and it's going to be hinted to in the process of where we're going here, which is the illusion that actually the two, in an ultimate sense, become one and the same thing. Hashem hu Elokim. Elokim is, in fact, the Gematria 86 of Hateva. And there's a point of an outer aspect of reality, an inner aspect of reality, the two being one. The same creator of the universe is the same creator of the Torah. And that one is really seen through it. In fact, we see this in this week's past Parsha, Lech Lecha, and the Kamei Vayera as well. The question comes up, where does Abraham get the mitzvahs from? He seems to be doing everything before the Torah has been given, before he's commanded. And what actually is happening is, from looking at the world, he backward derived the existence of one God. Then from that, he now traces the path back. And from the very natural world that he was able to figure that out, he now looks at the natural world. And with a great sensitivity, perhaps Ruach HaKodesh is given, he's now able to backtrace and figure out what in that world reflects back into personal actions that I should fulfill to sort of bring myself to where the creator of these things wishes me to go. That becomes very important in this week's Parsha, and specifically something I want to get into there too, which will bring us into the second bullet item. But the one thing that I now want to say before leaving that was the question of, well, okay, this may all be so. We'll learn a deeper aspect of the relationship between science and Torah, and we'll, along the way, answer some of these questions of doubt, some of the questions we'll look at, maybe a deeper aspect of both. But the question comes up, well, why are you doing a virtual reality game? This is not the normal way that these things are presented. You present straightforward, you present the ideas, a certain aspect, it takes a model, a way to look at it. But what's with the virtual reality game? Why this approach? We often, on a theoretical level, we often hear the terms Olam HaSheker versus Olam HaEmes. Olam itself means a hiddenness, but Olam HaSheker can mean nothing but a virtual reality, literally. Olam HaEmes, in fact, the word Olam means already a certain hiddenness, but it might be, in a certain sense, ultimate reality as far as we can handle it. That is to the point of what would be Echad. Ein od novado, only Hashem. We're no longer there. There's obviously we can't go beyond that. And it's the idea that's quoted in the Talmud that do not ask what is above, what is below, what was before, and what was after. It's in this ultimate sense. When it says don't, it means you can't. You, for starters, you don't exist. No one can see me and live. No one can see me and exist. Because to see me, you're penetrating Echad, there's nothing there. There's only Hashem. You're not there. These are matters that are beyond us, at least in the existence we have now. So that would be kind of a stopping point. But again, the idea of virtual reality game is that the claim is that this is, in a sense, a virtual reality. Also, as a motif, one of the very difficult problems in teaching Torah and science many, many years, in truth, probably what I think is a large reason, you know, of the limited number of people that might come to a shiur like this, is the feeling that, well, you know, either it's going to be total fluff, there's going to be, you know, you're just going to say stuff, you know, going to equals MC squared, you know, then and make sure you go to shul the Shabbos. The other aspect is that you say, well, you know, okay, I see some real things are going on, you're giving me numbers, ideas, very deep, but I can't follow any of this. I don't have an advanced degree in science, not particularly interested, and I can't follow this, especially, you know, high school or college, you tonight, but high school or even collegiate, so I have a problem with this. I am not a specialist in technical areas. I don't know if what you're telling me is even correct, and even so, I can't follow these ideas. This does nothing for me. It's just, this is jabbering on. So this is a motif along the lines of a parable, a Gadata, a Hasidic legend, that sort of thing, in which one sees and visualizes what's going on, and in a sense has a sensory grasp. One can often learn a lot more from doing that. This will be more direct than that, but in a certain sense, it'll have some of the characteristics of that type of approach. If one remembers the children's Hanukkah video, Lights, there's a great deal of midrashic ideas and very deep ideas about creation, the nature of the Torah, and ideas we have, and it's introduced in a kid's video, in a half-an-hour children's video. There's a lot of deep things in there. It's very nicely done without having to go into, you know, complex analysis. Okay, so this is really the reason we're doing it, and it's a very experimental approach. The idea will be directed visualization in discussing sort of like the sights and things we'll be passing through, almost sensing things that are ultimately abstract, and then getting to points, ultimately getting to this world where we'll actually begin this interactive sort of thing, talking about questions at this point. In this particular session, there's not going to be the scientists and philosophers and rabbis and such that are mentioned who will come as characters. There'll be scripts prepared, and people will be, you know, reading it, playing it, we'll be discussing it briefly, and the ideas leading us to where we're going. Okay, so thank you very much for joining me in this experiment, and I hope this proves a very, very interesting new way to teach this type of material. Let's go on to really what our starting point is, and it actually is Parsha Vayera, interestingly. That's what's very big about having this week to begin. The reason being, let me just check the time here, which isn't coming too good. Esther, you will be our time reader, maybe. It would naturally seem for a parsha like this, and that Parsha Bereishis is where you want to start, right? You know, Big Bang, I don't know, everything, right? And there's a truth to that, but something very particularly interesting about this parsha, something comes up in the Torah that is really a vital essence. It's a fundamental principle. It is so fundamental, and I have to say this carefully, it's a fundamental principle of creation, which extends from our very relationship with Hashem, throughout all of Torah, throughout all of science. I dare say even you see it reflected, and it's a dangerous thing to say, but even in idolatries and even in occult magic and this sort of thing, the ideas in a distorted sense are reflected. And even what the entire worship of civilization around Nimrod was founded upon this. It's such a fundamental idea. And so what could it be? I'll try to explain. It's actually two things are going on. In this week's Parsha, the one that's coming up now, so Abraham has his bris milah, circumcision, and he's sitting there now. He's in a great deal of pain. It's the third day. So Hashem, so to speak, turned the sun up. He made it such there's really no travelers on the road. So this should be very good news. There's no travelers on the road. Nobody's going to bother him. He can get well. He's miserable. He wants to do Hakhnas Orphan. He wants to invite guests, and this is the thing he wants to do. Now, there's a very, very strange... So God says, I'm going to help him out. He creates three guests for him. Three angels come, three malachim. There's two very interesting aspects to this whole thing. One is why there are three angels, and the other is what is he doing? In other words, why is he miserable? We think this model, he's a very good guy, he's a chesedic guy. This is wonderful. Everybody's taken care of. Travelers probably got themselves places to stay. They're nice and cool, they're comfortable. Thank God. It's like saying, you know, somebody likes to give charity, but there's no poor people, and they're wonderful. Wonderful. Everybody's taken care of. There's nothing more. Why should it be miserable that there aren't hungry people I can feed? Isn't it great that there aren't hungry people? There aren't people in need of his services. He says, no, he's miserable. Why is that? Because the entire purpose is the same reason why would Hashem create, so to speak, your creatures and such, and with all their needs. This is emphasized in the Torah as well. It's emphasized in the Torah. This is a very strange thing. He creates creatures, but it's glorious. He creates them with their needs. Yes, because there's a point of relationship here. What he wants to do is get close to Hashem, to be like Hashem in that regard. He sees from the world, from nature, that Hashem gives. He sees the tree that shades, provides fruit. He sees that some things are hidden, some things are open, and that the first aspect that Hashem wants to give, he wants to give too, to become like Hashem. Why should that make him like Hashem, though? It's very nice that you give, but he gives. Why does it make you like Hashem? And this is where the three angels come in. It's a very, very interesting aspect of this. Rashi comments, why should it be three? Each one had a specific mission to do. I mean, people are probably, you know, well aware of this. One was to tell Abraham, announce the birth of Yitzchak. One was to go to Sodom concerning the rescue, tell about Sodom to Abraham. And in the last case was to heal Abraham. And then, outside of these missions, in these missions, when they're involved in it, you hear one of them speaking. I refer to. When anything else, they eat whatever, it's they is a group. So Rashi comments, and he brings down a Medrash, actually, in Bereshit Rabbah, and I believe it's 50, that one angel with two missions is two angels, and I may be saying more, I'm sorry, the entire... Midrash Rabbah itself, from the Midrash Rabbah itself, because he gives a much summarized version. But the two angels with one mission are one angel, and one angel with two missions are two angels. So what is the point? What is the idea behind this? The idea is that if I have, and this fundamental thing of reality comes up again in philosophy by the mathematician Leibniz, in a similar idea in the 17th century. And in modern terms, some scientists do it. It's called a fundamental theorem of simulation. Or at least one professor Tipler brings this up in ideas of his, and which will bring back the virtual reality as well, the importance of that. And this being a simple fundamental truth, a truth of truths within creation, is that a thing is itself. Something is equal to itself. And this sounds like ridiculously simple, and in fact it is. But the idea is that. What does one mean? Well, supposing I had a description of something. Supposing I were to describe this chair to you, and it's white, it's handles, and I begin to go into details. And I would ask you, is my description, let's say I put it in a computer memory, or I verbally wrote it down in a description, is my description exactly the same as the physical chair? If I destroy the description, I destroy the chair. If I move the chair, I move the description. And you say, no, that's ridiculous. But I'd say my description is not exactly the same as a chair. Because There's already differences. I moved the chair. I didn't move the simulation. I didn't move the description. I haven't described it completely. There are differences. There is. It's not a complete similarity of form. I mean to everything. If I were to talk in modern scientific terms, I mean to the quantum level. Everything. Its position, its time, what it's doing. Exact description of the thing. That exact description, what I'm saying, and certain reasons which we'll come to later, you know, to demonstrate this, that exact description is one and the same thing as the chair itself. They are inseparable, they are one. And the only separation comes is if there's some change in the description from the chair. Two chairs, if they're in the same place, same time, everything, same thing, they are the same chair. I mean, that seems almost obvious, but the consequences are amazing. We'll see later as the series and theorem go on. It's only when there's a difference that the one comes out from the other, so to speak, but is in a certain way always connected. And I'll give an idea in math. Again, even if I had high school students here tonight and they were hearing this, they should know it. There's a concept of real numbers. This is something that a high school student, at least by, I think, a 10th grade has done this. After you've had this, right? Oh, well, yeah, a high school student, I think, you know, honestly. So you have the concept of the real number system, and in those you have something called integers. Integers where you have whole numbers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, versus 1.37 or pi or something like that. Now, you'd never find an integer. I mean, it's really hard to find integers. They're infinitesimally dense. They're almost, you know, you have to go exactly 1.0000. But they are part of the real numbers. But when we identify this property, which you call integers, suddenly they're a separate thing. In our minds, at least, there's the integers that we deal with and something called the real number system. But in fact, while they're two separate things, the integers never leave the real numbers, do they? This is a very abstract idea, and I'm sorry to do this, but I want you to get a flavor for something because it comes up so fundamentally in reality and in Torah and explains so much about why we do the things we do, including why Abraham was trying to do what he was doing in greater and greater detail. Okay, let me leave it. I just want that to be in mind because it will come up over and over this year, and the idea will become greater and greater. In fact, the fundamental point will be as far as the virtual reality, the entire virtual reality approach here too, because this is obviously critical. The question is the difference between the virtual reality and the effect of reality. Is there a difference? Okay. Now, let's get back to Bereshis. And what we're going to do is a little bit of a kind of a directed visualization here. Of the next 10, 15 minutes. Esther, can I ask the time?
8:23.
This is going slowly, so I'll try to see. No, I'll just ask her once in a while. Okay, because this will take about 10 minutes. We'll do what we can. If need be, we'll shorten the questions and answers a little bit, hopefully not too much. Or, you know, we'll hang out a little bit more by the nuts and everything, and we can talk more there. Okay. Now, please, everybody, sit back, relax, stretch your muscles a little bit, you know, stretch, relax, tighten, you know, tense up a little bit, relax, and, you know, you would if you want to get a good night's sleep. Alright, real good. Now, let's just take some deep breath. Breathe in, breathe out, in, out, breath, Hevel Havalim, Hevel Havalim, everything is Hevel Havalim. Breath to breath. You know, in the old days, it's good people don't smoke anyway. They used to smoke a lot. And the very, very interesting thing with smoke rings, you know, people take a puff of a cigar, they used to show up and they breathe out and in. You know, and it kind of pushes out into the smoke, pushes back, and it forms a smoke ring. It forms what's called in math, they call it a torus. Or it looks like a donut. Kind of a hole in the middle, and now it's kind of circling, and it circles around the donut, and it circles around the big circle, and circles around the little circles, and it kind of makes spiral doing that. You know, isn't that interesting? You know, that motion, like sort of like sudden breathe in, breathe out, and there you're going to spiral of smoke thing. And so it would be breath to breath, everything hevel hevelim, out of the vastness. Imagine if this vastness is nothingness, but it's not really nothingness. It's somethingness and nothingness. It's somethingness comes forward. It seems to be as if it were smoky or light, background cloudiness, and then breath of breath, suddenly the smoke ring is formed. There's a hole, a donut, and it passes through. Suddenly there's a point in the middle, there's a point evacuated. Light rushes in, out. In, out, spiraling around, spiraling back, spiraling around, spiraling back. Comes out. light comes back in. Tamim the Torah. Ladder. Light those swords, and there's reflected light coming back to meet it. Called vowels. Nikudim. A, E, back and forth, the light reverberates back, and it leaves. And there's a memory of the Tamim. Memory of the Tamim left behind. As crowns. Beautiful crowns coming up in letters. They're coming, just crowns coming up. And one wonders, let me sit back. It's a beautiful, very comfortable seats. I hope your seats are very, very comfortable. You feel the belts around you because you're actually in a roller coaster. The roller coaster now track is hooking on to those crowns and they're beginning to go down. Suddenly there's something else. The light comes in. It's beating against the crown. We're following it through. Suddenly the light beats against the crown. There's sparks flying everywhere. Suddenly letters, osios, aleph, beis, space, and then space. Breishis bara Elohim es Hashemayim Esaras. Breishis bara Elohim es Hashemayim Esaras. Breishis bara Elohim es Hashemayim Esaras. Breishis bara Elohim. Round and round, we're cycling inside that cycle, inside that cloud, inside that torus, round and around. Lights flying in all directions. Everything going. Different levels. Yud K Vav K. General oneness. General principle. Categories. Before, after, up, down, inside, outside, left, right, before, backwards, look out, we're hitting mathematics, it's just split into a million pieces, arithmetic, advanced, geometry to the side, left, right, up, down, inside, out, level, round and round, breishis, bara, Elohim, esesh, shemayim, esesh, aretz, breishis, bara, Elohim, esesh, shemayim, aretz, cycles upon cycles, going this way, that way, in all different directions, different ideas flashing, concepts, things, down through the operating system. Down, different concepts breaking off into different channels, different memories, different tagging memories come, hold data inside, out, all around, down, it's like a round, from roots to branches, down, cabling, vessels, taking light, give that light, receive, give, pass down, channels all around, flashing, sparking, area, lightning, whirlwind, rushing, volcano, rushing, wind, space, twirling, very rough, hold on, we're going, space is opening up in the middle. It's opening up in the middle. There's a calm. There's an eye of the storm. It's opening up. We follow down from the root. Branches down. What a beautiful garden. See a beautiful garden? The trees. Various fruits. Everything you always wanted. It's pleasant here. These birds flying. So perfect. So happy. You can have a picnic here. No ants. Beautiful. All different things. So ideal. So beautiful. Lovely. Everything's flying. And you see here at the middle point, in the middle of the eye storm. Well, there's a tree. It extends all the way up to the sky, the roots, and down the branches. It's so beautiful. That is a lovely, lovely, special tree. But you know, it wouldn't be good to deal with it. I see there's another tree there. And its branches are in the sky, and it comes down. But it seems like it's only bark and very gentle, vague. I don't understand that one at all. I don't like it. But that's really strange because they're both right in the middle. But they're two trees. But they're the same tree, aren't they? I'm told that one is that's a tree of life. But that one's vague. That's just bark. It doesn't look very tasty or tasteful. That other one, Wow, it's the same one yet, but it's different. It's really quite lovely. Yes, I can see it. It's a tree of good and evil, giving hashpa, giving and taking. It's interesting. Good and evil like that. I guess I could learn to be a better person to avoid that. And also, isn't that how everything's working? Wow, I could know how the whole world works. How worlds are made like that. I got the whole mechanics here. That's the important thing, isn't it? And I really like that fruit. It feels inside something telling me And it's really quite pretty and lovely. It's aesthetic, you know. You can really be creative looking at a thing like that. It's such gorgeous fruit. And you know, it expands the mind in depth. And more than that, I could really serve the Creator this way, because He just doesn't want me to have it. But really, really, I could destroy this world. I can create a whole new world, another world, myself, where I would be like God. But I would fix that world up and be just like Him, and He would be so happy because I'll have something to do. He didn't just put me here to do nothing, to just take and receive from Him. I have to give to Him. I'm going to be great for Him. Yeah, I'm going to help Him out. I'm going to do this thing. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Give me that. I don't know, I feel funny, my skin. What is that? The helmet. What's the helmet? What's with the arms? What's going on here? Please note your picture. What is that? Cute little snake. What is that? You know, the Snakeskin 500, latest in virtual reality technology, huh? Really? Covers the entire skin, all the senses. Affects everything, the mind. Yeah, I feel that. I feel those things going to my head. What's going on here? I feel really funny and queasy. The Creator. Hi. Why am I in this suit? You know, this is the Snakeskin 500. It's the latest in technology. I was embarrassed not to have the latest in technology. Why was I embarrassed about that? Well, you know, I have to help develop this world. Take from that trip. It's good. You know, it's the part of me that saw it and liked it that really took it. And besides which, you know, well, the other tree was a full bar. You know, I couldn't resist. What can I do? Just, you're going to tell me about what that other tree was. I could have had it on Shabbos. Really? Yeah, I had it on Shabbos. Well, I could have had it now even, huh? You know, I might have eaten it now. Yeah, I would have lived forever if I had that tree, huh? Yeah. Gee, if I lived forever eating the tree, then I would have taken the other one. I couldn't die. There would be no need for me to die. Why not? If you didn't want me to have it. I mean, but what's wrong with the tree? There's bad things. I know. There's no bad in it. It's good and evil. There's no good and evil. It's all good. Ha! What does this other tree do for me? The meaning of everything? The tree of life, the soul of the other tree? Oh, you mean the taking would be used in a way to give to the one who gives you, so you would be a giver like him by enjoying and making him happy in a deep way. And that would show all the complex ways that one has to develop themselves and society and the world in order to make that happen and turn it that even the evil is really good. And if I just take from the other tree, I messed that up, didn't I? That's okay. Let me just have from the... Oh, you don't want me to mess up the whole... I messed up the program. You don't want me to mess up the whole operating, the whole machine, right? A virus permanently says, come on, what are you in quarantine? What are you talking about? The whirlwind again. The wind's coming back in the eye of the storm. Flaming wind, surf! We're back in the roller coaster again, folks. Up. We're going round and round and round and round and round. Breshis below. Akeem down, down, down. Further, 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 further. Other realities. Oh, floating by. It's strange. It's cold. A different world. Still, I don't die in way. We live long lives. There's giant beings, animals. It's still, you know, in the earlier world was better. You sort of saw everything, you know. All the concepts, all the ideas, the operating system was all there. All the ideas and everything. You could tell what an animal was just like looking at. The words were written all over them. You could see it. The Hebrew letters, the soul, everything. The meaning, the idea, how everything worked together. Except that tree, that was like going to out in infinity. Now I don't get to see that, but what, you know, but it's not the same here. It's still interesting, but it's not the same. But, you know, hopefully we'll handle things better here, but I guess they weren't. I see a giant tsunami heading for us. In the back! Round and round and round! Swirling, starts to open up, down, 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 round, break, she's below, round, round, down, 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 round, around, 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 round, 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 crash! Oh, we're in a rock. Coming out. I guess this is a new world. Okay, start repopulating. We'll do with this world what we can. All right. Now there's a history and a time. It flows back into time, and forward into time, out in space, this way, that way. Things concretized. Deep into the program, running the operating system is gone. It's beyond us. We're down the beyond the simple objects, beyond us, and we can't see it anymore. All closed in, the light's very dark now. Coming across the world, different times throughout history. Opening the cloud, seven worlds above, Sinai. Down again, spreading out, going through history, destruction of openings, destruction of windows, out, going, different worlds over time, seas, ages, ideas, groups, peoples, wars, everything. Okay. Well, we're in a living room, looks like. Okay, folks, if you open your eyes, we're welcome to this world. Well, it's been a long trip. So, looks real enough. Sounds hard. Chair seems to be there. You're all here. Pinch yourself. Feels real. I see you. I see everybody. The funny thing is, there used to be only me, and there's probably only you, and now suddenly there's other people. Things expanded out from us. There was only us before, and now there's us, objects, people, things all around us. But, you know, that's how a virtual simulator would work, wouldn't it? I would appear to see you, and in your goggles you would see me, and we'd see this world, and everything would work. You know, well, I guess there's two possibilities. Either that's really so, or I'm just kidding you guys, and you just came here. It's a nice place to spend Motzei Shabbos, and, you know, that's the next layer, and I'm just doing a strange kind of science fiction-y thing here. So the question is, which is it? Well, first question is, Esther, what time is it? 8:37. Well, I have 10. We started late, so I'm going to make it 10:50 more minutes. Okay, 10 more minutes. Okay, folks, so we'll stand with that. We'll work the questions and answers around it. Well, I guess the question is, supposing you were Mario or Luigi, is on the printout you have here, and you care to find out, how would you know if you're really in a game, a virtual reality game, or you're really in real reality? And this is everything here. Everything around you as it appears really is. Anybody have ideas? This is where we start interacting. It's going to get a little tough, okay? How about ideas? How would Mario and Luigi figure it out? We got an animator over there who's hiding in the corner, so I'm sure he's going to put a lot of input into this, right? By the way, that he suggested some of the stuff, too. The beginning sequence we had was like a cinematic introduction to a game. You know, all of a sudden they show you the good film, something very interesting, give you some basic idea of what's going on, maybe, or confuse the issue. And then you have the cruddy drawings that are left over, and that's the ones you actually work with. So we're at that stage. I hope we're not too cruddy, but in a sense, essentially, we're a lot cruddier than the worlds and such that were before. But this is one we get to work with right now. So the question is, again, what would Mario and Luigi? Any idea? Any ideas? Please, anybody. Think about it. I know it's not fair because I've thought about this for many years. And you're what? The question is, if you were Mario and Luigi, you were a character. Oh, was somebody coming in?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'll try to introduce them at this point. Hi. That's okay. Okay, it's basically what we did was we went through a cinematic kind of thing, and we just went through the very, very strange abstract look at what we call the operating system or the creation of the world, and we're here in this world. We just entered this world in this place. And the question that comes up, hand her one of those. Okay, you're down at the pictures of Mario and Luigi, which is the first goal of the game. And obviously the first goal of the game is to find out if you're in a game. So the goal is, how do you know you're in virtual reality? What would Mario and Luigi, in one of their games, how would they figure out that they're in a game versus that everything what they see is real? How do they know they're in a game? How would you know if you're a virtual reality character that you're in a game? Well, how do you know? Well, I know there's something higher up. I see birds, clouds, skies, Celico. I see that. I personally work at JPL. They tell me all sorts of things. They see videos about planets. People get satellites going around there. I know there's things higher up. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? It's not everything
that's
not in the controller. Something else
is controlling. Okay, so you feel you're not well. Okay, what you're saying is actually a clue. I'm going to build up on that. But okay, so one, we're going to. I'm saying this for anybody who'll be hearing this on the internet eventually. Repeating the question. So the suggestion one is that you feel you're not in control. Okay. You feel. Yeah, you feel a higher control. Okay, you're Mario. You feel that you're not really here somehow. That something else is controlling you. That there's something distant. It's that you're not really here and now, so to speak. Okay, feel higher control. You're not really here. Okay, and it's something you build up on that. However, remember, that's kind of a qualitative thing. That's your personal feelings. You know, people have different feelings. Maybe you had a bad, a little too much alcohol, not enough sleep last night. I know you don't drink, so. Okay, anybody else have any ideas? Very good, and that's the challenge, is maybe there is no way to tell. By the way, you're in good company. This is Professor Tipler, who I mentioned earlier, holds the same opinion. Okay. Two, you can't tell. Okay. Anybody else have any ideas? Okay, so we have sort of like a feeling, somehow a notion thing, and we're going to build up on that, and that you can't tell, and that is an interesting problem. We have to see if the, you know, what, yes? What? Not necessarily, but I'll see where I'll take them. Okay, Shlomo, you had that? Oh. Right. Am I a man dreaming? Am I a man dreaming of a butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming of the Buddhist thing? Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Very good. So the question is. Okay. Long thought. Okay. Philosophers. Philosophers, are we dream? Could be a dream, and I should have mentioned that. I'm sorry. In earlier times, and we see there's all sorts of hints to this in Tanakh and the description that it says as though waking up from a dream, etc. So using the analogy historically as a dream. For a short time, there was the idea of a projector, yeah, like a hologram, was big in the 60s and 70s, and then you have this virtual reality effect. It's a little more controlled, and there's some very, very nice analogies here, which is why I wanted to go with this direction. But as you can see from what we're doing, it's sort of a combination of hypnotic, dream, projection of things, and video game all in one. We're hitting all of that. Okay, so the philosophers, you know, could be a dream, can't know. Okay, so that's kind of like what Mike is saying. He's kind of agreeing in a certain sense that you really, that it's possible, but you can't tell. All right, and Esther says she's giving us a, you know, you have a feeling. There's something strange, a feeling. So a certain sense, you have a sense of a soul, a certain sense of an internal thing, but it doesn't seem to work because you don't seem to have control. All right, I'm going to get to just another direction, a little bit following with hers, but a little bit more than I'm going to suggest a certain clue, which I try to print out the internet I couldn't before. So I'm going to show you an older picture of it. It's for those of you who are okay, please ignore it because this is from another conference that Margie mentioned. This is from a lecture I've given there, the ViewGraph. So you might get confused about other things that are written on here that are kind of related to it. But I'd just like everybody to take a quick look. You want to pass this around? Take a look at the picture. I'm going to describe it meanwhile for anybody who might be hearing this later. Okay. I hope this is still running. What you're seeing is one of Escher's classic pictures. It's called The Gallery. What he sees is you see a young man who's entering an art gallery of some sort, and he sees a number of paintings, one of which is a cityscape which comes down into a woman looking at a balcony, actually almost a counter figure. It goes down there, and below, at the bottom of this building, is an outdoor art gallery, and that art gallery is, in fact, the art gallery he's in. So this is a famous, what's called a paradox, or a seemingly contradictory type of thing, because you go around and say each part of it looks quite possible and reasonable, but the entirety doesn't make any sense. It's as if he's on two different levels of reality looking at. Now, I want to specifically note something very interesting about the picture. I don't know if people want to see this. Something very, very interesting in the picture, which is probably the most interesting thing in the picture, and that's the center. You notice the cloudy, kind of cloud, phasey area? Okay. Now, Escher signs his name there. That's very clever. You know, that's a good idea to use it. But that's not why the cloud is there. He's not telling you why the cloud is there. Signing his name is kind of a way of avoiding the reality of why that cloud is there. Can anybody guess, and this is going to be a key of how we can go on at this point, because if we seem to be at a roadblock, in all truth we're saying the two opinions basically, you can't tell, and the other one is, well, I have something in and which is important, but basically I have a feeling, and that's not going to fly in the science chart, really, because you can't say I have a feeling. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
please louder. Sure. Okay, Esther said that you say the best laid plans of men often gangly. You had an idea you were going to do something and you don't know why it doesn't work. You did everything right and it just doesn't work. Is there something else that's controlling you? Okay, and I'm sorry, what you're saying? Okay, you sense imperfections that things could be more perfect. Well, one would wonder, a video game designer could have made mistakes. Hopefully that's not what's happening if we're talking about the creator. But, all jokes aside, and some strange ones, but even so, well, that would go on the idea that just this is reality and out of random, this is, you know, the reality we have, and those imperfections would seem to go along with it. A couple of those rough rocks. But I see, do you want to clarify that anymore? Is there anything, you see imperfections. Okay, let me try to say it in a different way that might work. Would you say that you see things that are funny in the world, in other words, don't look right, things that don't seem to make sense? Okay, let's go with that because that's I'm gonna like to build on that. Okay, but you said in the field. Okay, what he's saying though is things he observes that don't make sense. You're saying that you don't have control of your life, but anybody could say, well, yes, there's social, there are forces controlling you. What? Okay. Oh, I thought you were saving the time. Sorry about that. Okay, now. I know, I'm going. If it's getting really, if at 9 o'clock, no matter what, I'll stop, and then we'll just go to questions and answers. So let me try to pick this up a little bit, because hopefully for a future share in the coming months, we'll work that out. All right. So what you're saying is basically, for that objective observation, objectively looking. You know, like objective means you see the world as it is. Okay. I'm sorry for resonating to my teenagers. You see the world how it is, and something's awry. It doesn't make sense. Certain objective observation, things don't make sense. Now that's a big idea because, you know, which we will play on, but I want to get into that too because, there's a concept of lucid dreaming. We wake up in a dream. And one of the ways you can tell, like, if you cue yourself on that you're dreaming, is that things don't make sense. In other words, you're looking at a clock, and I see it's 8:46. I turn around, I turn back, and the clock now says 9:30. I was looking at, I have here a sheet that says this. These are Hebrew letters. I turn around, and as I have actually an earlier version, this is all in English. Those sort of things are clues, like, something's wrong here with reality, okay? So something doesn't seem to work. How did that get like that? There wasn't enough time, there wasn't nothing, something's wrong. Okay, so that's a clue. But now with the Escher picture, what I want to point out is, I want to ask one last question before we go on to the final point. Anybody have an idea why that white spot's there? That cloud in the middle, that little cloudy blank spot where he signs his name, he could have signed on the bottom.
That's for the
conversation. Ah! You see, the frame disappears into it? That's the point at infinity and forever because it goes down to a point where it loses it. You have to go out of the reality of that picture, the reality of the contradiction, that hey, this is just a painting and there's a higher reality for that was painted within that higher reality where things make sense, and that's where he's signing his name. You can't see that because it can't exist. Now, So the point is, that cloud's in the picture. Supposing in Mario and Luigi, there are places they could find clouds like that and explore, poke around in them, and find the contradictions, the kind of contradictions you said in reality, things that just don't make sense. Okay? Contradictions that might relate to your feelings. Okay? Maybe that's the place to look. In other words, are there edges, borders to this game that even from within they could poke around? Things normally in the game start to break down. They don't work the way they should. Might be a clue. Now, how do we go about doing that? Again, this is something that, let me just see the agenda. I want to see what we were supposed to cover. Okay. That's going to be the key point. In other words, things that don't work for certain reasons, things that don't make sense in a cloud, something becomes vague, something now becomes contradiction. But I'm going to add some other things that you'd see if you found a video game. All right. One of which is that everything works according to rules. Rules that interfere with what you want to do, but rules. And that sounds very strange. Mathematical laws seem to work. Okay? That shouldn't work in reality. And that's what's going to be a discussion for next time. Mathematical rules should not work in reality. All right? The reason being is that they only work on finite, unlimited things. In reality, it would have to be continuous. Otherwise, we're going to run into our clouds, our jumps, our breaks. So math shouldn't work. And it would be rather strange, almost queer, you have to study it enough, that it does on all different levels, if that's the case. That's one aspect. The other aspect is the clouds, because relating to the clouds. Okay, in other words, and the only way you can break up is eventually that may even help define the clouds, that fact, that discontinuity, that something's wrong. And that could come in many ways. There's in the screen, perhaps there's limits to how big things get. There might be limits to how small or certain things you can't go. You're suddenly here, then there. I mean, the character looks, there's pixels on the screen. He's here, and he's there, and he's here. That might enter contradictions in some of those mathematical laws, but they work otherwise. There's certain limits to where he can go to. And also, there might be something in the structure, or things. Another thing that doesn't appear as it seems, it doesn't make sense, is that given those laws, that those rules, that everything does seem to follow, certain things shouldn't happen or certain things shouldn't exist, which do. How did they get there? They seem to break the laws. They're almost as if they were just there. All right, so that's some of our clues. Things that in time couldn't come, things that are broken when you get small, when you get large, other things that just don't make sense. The clouds, where it drops off, and the hint is that there's a contradiction, this can't work here, and we've got to break off here into something else. Okay, and I guess we should break off at this point. This is the lead.
Okay.
Right. Like that. Okay, so you're making a comment about this. I'm saying it louder so the tape should hear. You're talking about a surrealistic school of art and things that relate to Salvador Dali, the melting clocks, and that type of thing. Yeah. Okay, that's really good. I came upon the Escher a few years ago, and as you can see, I used it in another in a context of something not too dissimilar actually from what we're doing now, but in a different way of approach, which is more complicated than this. Margie was the victim of that. You were there, didn't you? But those would all be good. I particularly like this because of the whole in which the consequence, it must happen when you have these consequences, and that's a clue for what to look for. Clouds. By the way, people realize that in the Torah, of course, there's a lot of clouds that are coming up. Okay? Clouds on Mount Sinai, people walking around. I saw the cloud. There was the thunder and the you know, etc. He walked. It was the still calm voice, etc. With a lot of hints coming out of there. I'm sorry. Doesn't it though? It's not just Matan Torah. It'll be our virtual reality too. You'll see. That's for the next lecture. I hate to hold it off to that, but I wanted this to lead in because it's a very different. I'm setting up a framework here that we're entering, which is very, very different, obviously, than what's done before in this kind of area, which I hope will be more visual and understandable in a certain sense, rather than really abstractly going at it. So I've had to spend this basically introduce the whole idea, what we're looking to do, and set up this framework of looking at a reality, a virtual reality, from which we'll continue to play this game. With our characters, hearing a classic discussion back and forth from within the game. And as this, it's sort of seek adventure, but answer many, many questions along the way. The real questions, the kind of things people talk about, evolution, the age of the universe, etc., etc., this will begin to come as we go along. Now, maybe controversially, it's open, and there'll be the characters, and some of them will contradict, and you guys may have your own opinions. And that's the fun of the thing. But that's where we'll go on it. Okay. That's my claim, but I don't want to push that. I'm going to introduce why. That's for the future shears lectures, because that's the whole other ballgame. That what we call free will would be a thing, the idea of evolution would be a thing, the creation of the world. The first thing we have to establish is if I can prove that or claim, or at least a very claim, strong theory that we are in a virtual reality. Then we go on from there, because there's a lot of consequences. In fact, that's interesting you brought that up, because that is the last bullet point. This is really not something to solve now, it'd be mean. So it's just, if this is a virtual reality, I'm just going to put something forward at this point. Now you ask it. If it, that's the last bullet point, don't worry, after this is questions, answers, and something to eat. If, in fact, it does prove to be a virtual reality, and we come to that conclusion, or we think, what are the consequences? Okay, it's a virtual reality. It is an Olam HaSheker. What does that mean? Yeah, okay, who cares, but what does that mean? Yeah, well, that's the point of the future, but that's the thing we're going. Well, there's a number of things that means. Certain things about what we look inside and measure and think may not be so. Certain things that we describe about what's beyond here may not be so either. In fact, here's an interesting point. I don't want to give away the cat. So, but there's things. Let's say that we say, oh, this can't be right. It must be that. And what I'd say is, no, both of them are not real. But I'm saying, which makes a better simplified description of something beyond either to use? And people may be listening to the entire meeting, and it is exactly that, because in every aspect that we use it in this world, and everything we could possibly know about it, it is absolutely true, except the matter is far greater. And that's a description in our language from our world of certain things.
So,
but it's completely correct within the context of what's completely correct.
So if it is virtual, what does this have to do with, like, what can I do about it?
It would make a difference if you have problems, because why do you have problems with the programming? Okay, there's a couple of things. Okay, this is just to think of the future. I'm going to add some clues to things that are coming into the future. Okay, for one thing, it means that what we call science and nature is computer programming, is idea and story memory, is following mathematical equations that are written and followed. However, above them stands the operating system. The operating system has a very fancy term that it interfaces. It's called metaphysics. And above that is the idea of the vessels, of the transfer of information between memories back and forth. How that works is called object-oriented programming. And I don't want to get into that quite now, but that's good. People in high school do some programming. Which involves general categories of things and how they split by similarity of form into inheritance, into different subcategories, and how that branches off versus a spiritual idea, an information idea of looking at cause and effect rather than in time as we understand the physical time. In fact, physical time being that, basically being a program running on this higher operating system and something outside of time and space. And the consequences of that for the way we approach it. Therefore, we it becomes almost ridiculous. There is no contradiction between the two because one's operating the other. There's a lot of implications about who you are. Also, you said you seem to be distant. Are you really who you are? Are you where you are? Who are you and who runs it? The equations are you. Who creates the game? By the way, is this the only level of the game? If you go to the next level, is that actually the game? Somebody's playing the game? Or is that in a larger game?
What am I what are we trying to get at this for me to a point in my life that I did not know before? What was the point?
All right. When we started this, we were in sleeping room. What advanced to the heretic? You're going to find, I hope, in a more qualitative way, how to look at it, and actually with some teeth to it, why that's a legitimate way. In fact, the most legitimate way to look at things. Why it works that Torah and science would not be in contradiction. In fact, they can't be. We didn't get there yet. You're asking the end of that. We didn't get there yet. How did they answer it? Yeah, that's very good. That's why there's another session. We're getting hints to that. We didn't get there yet. And I don't know that I will, maybe, you know. That's all this could be, is an introduction to the entire approach.
Okay, thank you so much.
What? Yes, we will use this tool very valuably, everything you've learned tonight. In the future, it'll actually be doing stuff. But we're approaching from this game and this reality. What? I hope not. Oh, sorry, I hope they're still hearing it. Oh, good, it's still going. Okay, I hope everybody out there in the internet, I hope you're getting this successfully when the time comes. Thank you, everybody. You've been great, and do think about some of those ideas, though, about how further about how you might, you know, and you can bring in more ideas. You don't have to. You just come in. But if you think about some, you know, more on this issue about how you know you're getting the cloud idea and where you'd find maybe other holes in things, other dimensions, whether size or shape, size or time or other things, and in personality, in social frame. Okay. People start walking out the door, I'll stop. But I'm going to stop now. All right? So, and also, like, what the implications of it, if this goes the way it seems to be going, and we are in such a world, what are the implications of that? Some of this we just discussed. They're even far, far greater. We didn't even get there. In fact, the entire purpose of things becomes, what's the purpose of the operations? Where are we going? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the purpose of, not only that, but the purpose ideas behind Torah. And it goes really, it can go in very, very great directions, I hope, just to show. Okay. No, I'm not. Because okay, we're supposed to have Margie. I know it's running a little late, but I still want to do it. Let me try to share hands. Do people still want to do the question and answers? You're up to that? Okay, question and answer session. Hello, Margie. I said, you want to do a question and answer session? Oh, a teenager. A pity. Another teenager. We had two. Question and answer session. I just want to take a show of hands. The original question and answer session was supposed to be 20 minutes. We were running quite late. It took the full hour. Actually, a little less than an hour because we started late, but almost a full hour to do this instead of 40 minutes. Hopefully, in the future, it'll be faster. And it won't need this much structure. Does anybody still want to do questions and answers? And if so,
just stay here and
it's not. 20 minutes, 10 minutes. No, because the deal was then we break and we can informally talk over there. You can have something to munch, drink. But you probably want to socialize a little bit. So you want to? How about we compromise? I tell you what: 10 minutes questions answers, or until people run out of questions. So everyone runs out of questions. I got the hint. Okay. So let me just open up. If no questions, then we immediately and just people can sit and can schmooze whatever as long as they want and disappear as they wish. That's right. See, Esther, there are things to do controlling this world. Okay. So does anybody have any questions? Well, comments, question and answer. Perhaps, what are my sources for some of these things?
No,
I'm talking about the smoke ring. Where am I getting that from?
The roller coaster.
Ah, okay. The roller coaster. I used the roller coaster successfully here. It was quite exciting.
Now, what was the point of that?
Okay, the whole point of. Okay, now I can answer. Okay, the point is that I didn't want to above up here. Okay. The point of it could be if you were a typical teenager, just a fascinating idea backwards that all sorts of mystical things are happening leading to this point. It's more things in heaven and earth are ratio than are jumped if you're awesome. But literally, the Zohar refers to the concept of the blower's breath, or like you're talking about the billows, right? So the idea is that a breath is blowing and out of the, and it has very sophisticated language in Aramaic, which I don't understand. There's some translations, correct, wrong, about of a smoke or out of a haziness or there's sparks, etc., etc. But the formation of, if you blow, this goes throughout nature, by the way, and I there's a good, in fact, a friend of somebody, he said not to certain ideas I'm using from him, some of back east, but he said not to really mention unless I do his ideas exactly, which I'm not. But the point is that if you look at a jellyfish, right, it gives a blow, puff, 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 and that's how it moves. It's basically making what's called toruses. These toroidal, these like donuts, the circling donuts in the water, and that's its propulsion. Rockets, I think, use them. I'm not sure. Many things. That's how the smoke ring works, and it's from a push and pull.
What does that have to do with anything? I'm really confused.
That is the creation of reality, the beginning from Ein Sof, the very beginning of anything out of absolute nothingness. That's everything, okay?
What do you mean?
Go beyond that, it's Hashem Echad.
What do you mean that we're just a smoke?
This is creation. This is existence. Is that important to you?
We're
not, but we're out of... everything is the same. There's no difference. It's absolute infinite light or being or nothingness. And there's suddenly something significant. The beginning is different. Similarity of form. There's no similarity of form. Everything is one. Echad. There is no anything. There is no time, space, up, down, anything.
Are you thinking like one big smoke puff that's good?
No, but we're like something, for some reason, a point, a designated, meaningless point, suddenly become the middle point. It's evacuated in some ultimately abstract sense. It is not evacuated. There is no light. There is no color. The color isn't even color. Color is spiritual ideas. There's nothing spiritual, physical, nothing of nothingness, of nothingness, of nothing. Abstract, abstract, ad infinitum. At the ultimate of total nothingness. Total nothingness. Just one excellent. Just infinitesimal. Teensy. You have a right to be. This is Zohar. Don't try to understand it. That's why I took you through this real quick. Just think of a fun ride and a very strange sight.
I'm really confused with the smoke from the thing.
It's not smoke. It's not gas.
No,
it's not matter. It's not even spiritual. It's not even ideas. This precedes 1 plus 1 equals 2.
I asked you, what's the connection between the two?
I'm going down the operating system of my video game from the console all the way down. Okay. What I am showing is there's a cycling in Breshis, and I can't tell too much about it. It involves what research and organization. I don't want to get into it. But there's a Breshis Bara, and you'll see a relationship between the letters forming a spiral which comes through on this thing, up and around. Okay. I can't go into details. I promise the person whose information I'm using
that. Like
it's a spiraling thing. It's self-fulfilling. It is the beginning of creation itself. Within itself. A thing within itself. I don't know how to say it better. The beginning of partition. The beginning of separation.
How?
This versus that.
How?
Inside versus outside. You know how? There's only one person you can go call it to God. I don't know who's the creator. It's an ultimate secret. You're asking me. You want to know?
The knower, the known,
and the only one who knows is God. To know it, you'd be God. You'd know yourself. Okay. Yeah, that's just, Rambam talks about this, everything. This is beyond us. I had very great apprehension about even doing that kind of path, exactly for this reason. I'm sorry. That's why I wanted to pay. I just wanted to give an idea that there's something way beyond this. Way before this, way beyond
this.
That's very good. That's open-ended. I can put more in. Well, my wife and I were just debating that earlier as far as she was thinking every 2 months, I was thinking every month. Because we have a shear with Rabbi Stolberger, so we're oriented at... Right. So I'm pushing to do this once a month. She's saying once in 2 months. I think once a month is better. We can go different directions. In fact, one of the things that come up questions, suggestions about the areas you'd like to talk about, and those things that might bother you, and we can direct it in that way.
It could be ongoing.
I intend it to be ongoing, at least, indefinitely. But believe me, I'm telling you, this could go for, and I don't scare you, this could go for years and years and years. But it could go very short, or we can know the most critical questions of people, things that will lead into shortly as far as evolution, the age of the universe, that sort of thing, we can reach very quickly.
What I don't understand is, why can't you push street master? Why do we need all of this?
Because
why do we need to understand where the drug
I'm setting up a frame. Sometimes you make a tool to make things simpler. I'll explain a personal analogy, and I hope this works for you. I don't know if it will. I had to do an assignment where I had to figure out how certain things were. I do transistors and circuits, right? So I had to figure out something's doing. So go out and make these measurements. No, I set up a bunch of computer programs to do this kind of analysis and this, and to transport data, and to take this and this data automatically and do it. And he's saying, what are you doing? It's like we have like 4 weeks to do this. It's literally three and a half weeks. We won't be that bad, okay? And all to set up the structures, computer program, all this to do it, right? Yeah, but in 2 days, boom. We had more data analysis, the whole thing was basically done. Otherwise, we'd be sitting on a ton of like rough, sketchy stuff, which wasn't good and not repeatable. A lot of early work, sometimes a lot of preparation to set up something right will in the end prove much more valuable. You'll have all the tools. It's right there. That's in science. They do that a lot. I'm using advanced insight there.
Like,
And as I said, I could say equals MC squared. end of the story. You know, what am I saying? They would have gotten the point. They'll say, you're ridiculous.
Okay.
It's actually, because we're going to say and look at things, that if you don't have where we're going it and the analysis and the things and question and answers, the details about, you got to ask along the way, where do you come up with this? How can you say that? Because, and I can say scientifically, here's the science. In fact, some of these people, you know, the avatars will be scientists, will be things, real things happening, about real measurements, real time, real things analysis, real opinions, bringing all this in. Because otherwise, at a certain point, you can say, this is crazy. Yeah, it's crazy, but it's real. You got to know it's real, but I got to lead it in such a way that it'll be easy enough to see that it's real and easy enough to see what they're talking about. It's a different way of thinking about the world. If it's nothing else out of this evening, the idea of science being a program, a basically simulation of certain rules and such, a certain set of objects, a certain set of rules being simulated in an operating system which controls everything, that being Torah or metaphysics or reality or Kabbalah, whatever you like, going up, and questions about who's running it, who's running it. Okay, let me leave you with that as the beginning of this framework. I want to introduce a different way to show some classical things from that. If questions come up, as you said, okay, this Kabbalistic, the relationship Bereshis Bara, I was going to say also about the Yud K, Vav K, as being different worlds within that each level, the idea of generality and this, the idea of spiritual versus time dimension versus in an abstract sense leading to the physical ones we have. Okay, whether there's more than three dimensions or there isn't, the controversy is.
Okay, I think
okay. Okay.
I love the wonderful
roller coaster. Whee! A roller coaster,
I know.
Right. I didn't mention everything. You're going forever, right? Down is the thing. The point of the tree is very important, too, because it's a primordial thing about power and science. And I'm making a very dramatic claim here. I'm claiming that basically, it's not too far off what they think that Winston does this, right? That he claims that the most analogy to the tree in modern times is the internet, the tree versus Torah. Okay. When I'm going more general, I say science itself and the idea of receiving and giving, because what's good and evil? You know, give and take, but there's a deeper idea. Am I giving, pushing because I want to feel good that I'm giving? Am I taking just because I really don't want, but I'm going to enjoy this for your sake, because you have this need, you know, the statement that it's a statement in our tradition, I don't know if it's from Talmud or not, but that the calf, the mother wants to feed more than the calf wants to suck, wants to give suck to the calf more than the calf wants to suck.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So that there's a kindness of the calf sometimes to suck, and it does enjoy it to help out mom. All right. So, but there's a relationship because now it's the receiver. Okay, remember we said about similarity of form? This is where Abraham's coming from. How are you going to get close to Hashem? There's only one way, in similarity of form. You've got to be as much like the relate. Now, not Hashem, you say you can't. He's beyond essence. He's beyond a chaj. No, but the point is that there's a relationship. You're getting as close to the relationship that Ein Sof that this. We're coming to what a state ultimately called Adam, we're going to mystical Adam Kadmon, which Adam was supposed to head to it. He brought Adam Rishon, and now we're further down. So we got two corrections to make here to go up to that.
Adam Kadmon, like the messed up form of
the Adam Kadmon is the ultimate form, and it's actually what it is what humanity ultimately must be. And this is going to sound like that. We are one. We're one being, one thing, and we have one name. We're called creation. We're it. All and everything that God created is called man. Man, woman, we're it. Civilization, everything that can come. That's what it is. The arrest is illusion or environment to work in. That is Adam Kadmon. It is the level of Ein-Sof. It is just what it is. And this is the ultimate communion we have in Hashem. Now, beyond that, is that Hashem? No, just not. There's two, I'll just say this very briefly. Two proofs. That one is the Arizal gives one, and one is by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, famous Mekubal from Chabad. It gives us also on his, it gives us ultimate thing. Like that. The Arizal points out one thing which we didn't go into. When he said about the light and the thing, there's an idea of light and vessel, right? So Malchut, this primordial vessel and primordial light. So it relates to that he and his name is one. He being the light, his name being the vessel. The point is that, how can you say they're one? That's not, you know, I mean, they're two different things. You said two different names. We have two different relations. He said this is beyond understanding. This is the point of Ein Sof where it becomes a chad. It's losing the point of difference. Well, in other words, it's not that, but it's different outside our canon. In other words, we're reaching a point where something is nothingness. We're reaching a point where the difference is beyond anything in the most abstract that we can sense. It's outside of our kalim. And therefore, this is an area of nothing. As far as we're concerned, there is... we are being told that it has two different names, yet they're one. as far as anything that any created being, which is just us, can ever do. But we reach some sort of communion. Beyond that, there's also the abstract concept. What happens if you're 6,000 at the end of the day, and 7,000, and 8,000, and 9,000, and then when we reach the year 10,000, there's a greater abstract that happens, which we don't even have words. The idea that the holidays, that the weeks go, and all the weeks of the days of the week become all the holidays, become the days of the week, and then there's only Purim. You've heard these sort of things, and what that really, really means, and what happens when that even phases out. And the answer is, we're babes. We're sitting here in a crib. We're sitting here in a crib with toys, little star toys, and things around. What I'm trying to get at is virtual reality, and we're trying to head that we're worse because we're little kids thrown into the crib. We were even that. Where we're ultimately heading is beyond comprehension. And now, at the most abstract level, I'm just throwing words at you: high school, college. Now you're asking about careers in NASA, you know, or whatever, or what'll be, or being president of the United States. Beyond, we can't even talk. There's no language for it right now. Okay, that's all. We wait till another age. After Mashiach, after the end of it, there'll be a time when we're mature enough to live. Right now, we're dealing in the world we do and the consciousness problems we have.
Okay,
thank you very much. So I hope there'll be more of this. Hopefully, this will be on the net if you want to tell your friends. I hope the recordings came out okay. And I'm going to try to do that right now, okay? And okay, this is basically been going. Okay, I hope that's going to turn it on. I'm trying. Okay, good. Oh wait, I'm just going to turn it off before we talk.